Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We can bow down to you this morning once again and gather in your name and exercise the power of prayer that you've given us and know that you hear our prayers. And so lead us now by your Spirit. And we look at another prayer in the Bible today and we see how great you are and how great we aren't, really, as we see our frailties and our sinful nature. And today, as we look at jealousy and envy, and also look at forgiveness and prayer, and Lord, I would hope both sides of that situation or those situations. But may you speak to us today in a way we need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're in a prayer in Numbers chapter 12, and this is a familiar chapter, I'm sure, to you. But it's always good to see how the Bible pinpoints things for us in terms of reminders, in terms of conviction. And, you know, we were talking about murmuring and complaining a time or two ago and how that kind of struck a chord with me. And then today we have another chord striker in my heart, and that's jealousy and envy. And we see in chapter 11 that the 70 elders were appointed. And we don't see that Moses had any help in that. God told him, separate 70 men that you know to be good elders. And they did. And the very next chapter, whether that was part of this dissension or not, I don't know. I personally think it was. Miriam and Aaron aren't happy. They aren't happy with their brother. Their brother's getting all of the honor. He's getting all of the glory. And why should he get the honor and glory? You know, he's just our punk brother, really, right? You know, look at Miriam might have thought, look at me, I'm a prophetess, and Aaron might have thought, you know, here I'm a priest, and why should Moses get it all? And how typical we play games along those lines too, don't we? We're supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice and sorrow with those who sorrow. In some cases, it's easier for me to sorrow with those who sorrow than it is to rejoice with those who rejoice, particularly if they get something that I was really looking forward to getting myself, and I get passed over, or if even worse, I see God selecting someone else when he could have selected me, and I'm thinking, you know, well, you know what I'm thinking. Maybe you don't, but you know what I'm thinking. Now, we have an excuse here, I think, right off the bat. I think Moses must have gotten remarried to an Ethiopian woman, and they use that as a pretense here. I say pretense because I think it's a pretense for their dissension. They say in verse 1, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. But notice that's not where they stay very long with their dissension. They go immediately to the real situation here, and that's jealousy. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? Ooh. Lord, you're giving too much credit to our brother here. Listen, you know, we're really being faithful to you. And here you're just, you know, not giving us any attention at all. But notice, the Lord heard it. The Lord hears it even when we don't open our mouths, even when we think it, right? Just when we think it. Now we see Moses was very humble, more than all the men on the face of the earth, and he doesn't respond to this. Boy, I would have responded. I would have probably argued and come back at them and say, how dare you, and don't you know, God has chosen me, and look at all the things that he's asked me to do, and here you're coming against me, how dare you. He doesn't do that. And it's like he didn't even hear it, but God heard it. And I think there's a real lesson for us there. When people come against us, the more silent you are, the more you know God is going to plead your cause. But if you say, I'll defend myself, he'll let you. But who would you rather have as a defender? The Lord God Almighty and Jesus Christ? Or would you rather defend yourself? Well, my flesh thinks I needed to defend myself. My spirit knows better, but... Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So they came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam And they both went forward, and God said, Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? How often do you murmur and complain against God's anointed in various forms? It's not a good thing to come against my servant Moses in this particular instance. Well, although we don't see Moses saying anything, we certainly see the Lord responding, because what's he say in verse 9? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against Aaron and Miriam, and God, what? He departed. He left. That's never a good scene when you've sinned and the Lord departs. And the cloud departs from the tabernacle. And notice the result of the sin. Suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. There also seems to be some indication here that Miriam was the instigator, the first out of the box in this rebellion. And although Aaron followed, Aaron didn't lead, so Aaron's consequence was less severe than Miriam's, it would appear. There's nothing worse, particularly in those days, than getting leprosy, because there was no known cure, and it would be an outcast forever. But it doesn't end there. Now Aaron, he starts to confess. He starts to repent. He starts to apologize. Verse 11, so Aaron said to Moses, Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly, in which we have sinned. How fast do you come to repentance after your sin? Because we all sin, and we're going to sin today, and we're going to sin tomorrow. Not because we set out to sin, but we're still in bodies that can sin. We will not be in a sin-free body, as you know, until we get our glorified body. But that causes us to have that relationship with God. It causes us to respond in that verse that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Aaron continues on in verse 12, please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So notice now Moses' response. What would your response have been at this point? Serves her right. How dare she do what she did to me? And you, Aaron, take your words of repentance back. I don't want to hear from you. I'm really upset with what you've done. No, Moses doesn't do that. No, Moses is exhibiting great forgiveness here as he's praying for the very one who came against him. How often do you do that? How long does it take you to turn whatever is coming against you over to the Lord and turn it around and start to pray for the one who's coming against you? So notice this prayer. It's a short prayer. It's not, you know, a half-hour intercessory prayer. It's actually, here in the New King James, it's 6 words. It's a great prayer, isn't it? Please heal her, O God, I pray. Now, if any of you don't think you know how to pray, really a great prayer, which one of those words give you trouble? Please heal me. Please heal her. Please forgive them, O God, I pray. That's his prayer. But a beautiful prayer, isn't it? Now the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. And notice this. The people did not journey till Miriam was brought back again. What does that mean? That means how often I impede what the Lord wants to do through me because of my sin. And it knocks me out of the box for a while, and his work stops through me because I'm in sin and I'm out of the camp, so to speak. So here the whole journey of 3 million people or 2 million or however many you want to estimate, we know there were just under 700,000 fighting men because the census shows us that. But here are literally a million plus people, we're pretty sure of that, whose wilderness march was stopped because of one person's sin. 7 days. They did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. So in summary, what do we have? I think we have a conviction, at least to me, of how often do I let jealousy and envy creep in and actually come against God's anointed or against those who God is using, particularly if it's a situation like this where they come against me and I impede what God wants to do. How quick am I to turn to forgiveness, and how humble am I in letting the Lord handle it? Notice Moses didn't respond here, did he? He didn't say, "How dare you, you siblings of mine, I never could stand you anyway." No, he doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say anything. He lets God do the talking. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So remember that. When somebody comes against you, first thing, am I going to fight this battle or am I going to give it to the Lord? Am I going to do the talking or am I going to let God do the talking? Forgive them, pray for them, and let God plead for you as he did here in hearing the prayer of Moses. So here we are to pray this morning. So let us pray as led by the Spirit. And however we're led by this account, may it be reflected in our lives as we are conformed by his Spirit to what he would have us to be. Lord, we thank you for this lesson really on jealousy and envy and how quick we are to respond. But Moses was silent and let you do the talking. But he came to the aid of Miriam very quickly with forgiveness, and then that great prayer, just heal her, O Lord, I pray. So lead us now in this time of prayer in Jesus' name.